die Arbeit etwas verändert hat.
May waive the right to be heard. that basically, without the may not, does not make sense, because why in the upper provision we would say we give the right that you must be heard, and then in the next provision we say you may waive that right. So it was just a grammatical correction, because not should have been the word that is inserted there to ensure that the person that must be heard does not give away that right, and then later other related issues to not being heard. And that would basically be the amendment in clause 4. And then clause 5, 6, 8 are all just the changes in relation to the time frames, as was discussed by the members. And clause 11, it was also discussed by the members, and there were additional new subsections, which is subparagraph 6 and subparagraph 7. And that's basically in relation to what the registrar must do for the applicant and the notification periods. So there is not a contention in clause 11, it's just new intentions that we make the provision more practical and clearly applicable. Again, clause 12 and clause 13, they merely provide the change in the time frames as per the discussion of the members, which is the same thing for clause 17, 18, and 20. And then for clause 24, it is in relation to the omission that was making reference to the old act that we seek to repeal, and we are basically saying, as was discussed, that provision must come out because it adds no value or takes away nothing on the content of the bill. And on clause 26, it was that issue that was deliberated, that public interest must be the public interest, and so that clause basically inserts that B, so that when you read the bill, when it becomes the act, it will be with the public interest. And then it's a consequential change to the sections, as I said, because of the appeal processes that we have inserted, which were not there when the bill was introduced. In clause 28, again, it's also the same thing, where we're omitting the paragraph that is no longer necessary, it's just a cleanup. And in clause 32, we are also inserting the time frames as per the discussions that ensued when the members were deliberating. In clause 33, it was also just a proposal on the paraphrasing or the preference of drafting. It didn't change what was initially brought in, but it's just to make it more clearer. And clause 34 also, it deals with providing the time frames to align with what was discussed when the deliberations took place. Clause chapter 8 on the topic there, because there were changes on the content from examination and evaluation, just effecting that consequential correction. On clause 37, it also provides a time frame. And then on clause 38, it's the cleanup that relates to the topic as well with regards to evaluation and examination on that denominations in that chapter. Clause 39, it is also an insertion of the time frames and the correction that was effected on subsection 3 to align with the numbering as per the changes on the sections or the clauses. The last number 3 on clause 39, it also deals with the time frame, because we were changing the 7 days to 21 days, that is after the deliberations of the committee in regards to that function. Clause 42 is also a consequential correction to make whatever is instructed there to sound better and to be clear. Then clause 47 is the one that was dealing with the appeal process, because we advise the committee that so that all the department processes would be the same, even if it deals with different topics. We suggested that it would be wise to take the changes that were effected in the buffer bill, which is also the bill of the same department, so the appeal processes of this department would be in sync and consistent. Hence, clause 47 is being said, as it is on the introduced bill, we are rejecting it by putting new processes for it. Hence, there is clause 47 and new clauses, which runs from 47 until clause 46, until clause 50, which deals with the appeal process right from the board and to a point that includes the minister, if the appeal must eventually be finalized by the minister. And again, on clause 48, which deals with the advisory committee, this amendment is per the instruction of the committee in respect of the remuneration of those members. We are changing the perpetual existence of the committee to only when it is necessary. Hence, we are changing to say that committee is hereby established, because in that instance, it would mean it is forever there, even when it's doing nothing. Whereas the members suggested that rather, because it's an advisory committee, it must be instituted only when it's necessary. Hence, that amendment. Clause 49 deals with the same committee, but in relation to their remuneration as well. Instead of having it as a must, the committee suggested that it be a may, and that affects those changes. Instead of receiving the remuneration as the initial bill had indicated, the committee suggested that it rather must deal with subsistence and traveling allowances, and that is the provision there which corrects and gives it to that instruction. And then if we go to clause 55, that is the one that the chairperson in her introductory remarks mentioned to indicate that the state law advisor, together with myself, we have some concerns and reservations, even though that these issues have been deliberated, because as we indicated in respect of the regulations, normally as per the drafting standards, I think the first point to mention is to appreciate that regulations is a delegated function. However, which primarily is the function of the legislature, which means if Parliament wants to, they may make regulations, because primarily it's their power. And the making of regulations is a sub-delegated instrument that is below the legislation. Now, what we were indicating is that if you look at the clause as is drafted on the introduced bill, it provides on 551A, it says, the minister may prescribe any matter that may or must be prescribed. And in our colloquial language, amongst the drafters, we refer to such a phrase as a catch-all phrase, which basically is a runaway phrase where you say, whatever I do not include, make sure when you thoroughly go through what you need to do, you have done it. So it's a catch-all phrase. So what is appearing on this provision is that there is both expressly set areas that the minister must prescribe, as well as that catch-all phrase. And what transpired in the deliberations of the committee, which has been effected on the amendments, is that the committee number one said under clause 55.1, we must change may into saying the minister must make regulations, which means whatever in the content of the bill comes out as saying the minister must prescribe ABC, then instead of, as the bill had initially said there when it was introduced, it said May, the committee said we want it to be done as a commandment, as a mandatory instruction, which means we change May into must. And then as per the deliberations, which unfortunately I can't say much because due to illness I missed that part. However, it was a resolution of the committee that as from paragraph B to paragraph P, which basically, as per the drafter's point of view, they went through the act, the bill in its entirety, checking the provisions where the minister is required to make regulations, and they set it out. But as I understand from the deliberations when they ensued in my absence, and the advisors did explain this, it was rather preferred that we take out the express listing of the method that the minister must prescribe, and rather leave only the catch-all phrase, which basically says the minister must prescribe whatever is required by the state. Our concern is only twofold in this respect. We consider what the judgment in Dowd said, which basically said, when you give a delegated power, you, the primary holder of the power, provide the criteria and the restriction of how far you want your power to be applied. Because when you provide a delegation, you are giving your power to someone else, and they will exercise your power and implement whatever you should have done in the manner that they see fit. But without the guidelines and the criteria, the court said that is problematic because it means you are giving away your power without any clarity. Now, in our view and in our legal opinion, we are basically saying without the express listing, in our understanding, the express listing was some kind of the criteria that in order for this process to be legal, leave the listing as is, as well as the catch-all phrase. In case there are other things that the minister in the operation or implementation of the act can see necessary that it should be done. That is basically the part where the chairperson said we would talk into details into this point. However, as you can see under clause 55, we have effected the change as per the instruction, which was to say remove all the listing and only leave the catch-all phrase. But as the chairperson has indicated, that is probably maybe one factor we are saying perhaps the committee should just reconsider and see what it is exactly, whether they are saying we leave the catch-all phrase or we leave the listing in the catch-all phrase as it already appears in the introduced bill. But as we have said, we are acting on the instruction of the committee. But we thought, let us just bring this to your attention finally, and then effect the changes as per your final instruction. And that is with regards to clause 55. Chairperson, with your guidance, I don't know whether to stop now so that we can have those deliberations or finalize the provisions that are outstanding on this APs, which are about 4 now.
Honourable members, that was the presentation. I think we're finalizing the plant improvement bill, taking it on those amendments, and then from there, after that deliberation, then we'll go to another thing.
And then
say so we'll discuss that as we the whole bill, and we can then and focus on those issues as we arrive to that close.
On clause 55, yet again, we also raised this previously, and the state law advisor also indicated that he is not at ease, especially on saying that we're again removing most of the provisions that we are saying we must remove here under the offences part. We are basically creating a toothless legislative instrument, which, if you look at it solidly as it is, it may basically have some future problems where, in an instance where these things that we are saying now, they must go away, they might not have a remedy elsewhere to address. Because as it creates offenses, it basically provides an enforcement provision for when things do not go the way that they should, as to what then the registrar or anybody involved in this process should then do. There were basically certain provisions that the departments suggested after deliberations. They should come out with some few changes there and there. If my colleague from the state law advisors can also add on this, if there's anything that he thinks I left out in respect of the omissions or what should be removed with regards to the offences. But as I said, these run together in more detail, clause 55 and 56, as the ones that perhaps the committee should just give us a final undertaking or instruction as to take out, as the A list indicates, or the things that perhaps they feel in order to give the power of enforcement to this legislation when it eventually becomes the legislation. That should be the case. On clause 57, it was also a prudential correction because of the new inserted clauses in respect of the appeal processes, as well as the same thing for clause 60 and 63 is the commencement clause, basically because the bill was introduced in 2015, but we are still dealing with it in 2016. It was just a consequential change with regards to the year. And then, on because there is a schedule attached to this legislative proposal, a correction was also necessary because of the new inserted provisions. And then, because of whatever was done in the bill, there are some special changes on the index, and the arrangement of sections basically deal with the corrections for the index. And that is the plant improvement bill proposals that the committee has deliberated and instructed us to make sure that we put in the A list. And that is what is before us, I think.
Thank you very much, honorable members. That is the amendment on the A list. Let me take clause. We have to take clause by clause again. We did that in the last meeting. I think honorable members can focus on the request from the state law advisor and the parliamentary legal team on the state of clause 55 and 56 as we want to say that we still stand with our view on removing them, or we want to agree with them, indeed, that if we don't So those are the issues. Some of the issues were agreed on the amendment, but there's two issues on the clause 55 and clause 56. Honorable Maloy and Honorable Matale.
We want to start with Honorable Matale. Lord Chair, I'm going to suggest that the SFO meeting must agree with the advice from the parliamentary legal advisor. And I'm persuading members because from where I'm sitting, our responsibilities as public representatives is to make sure that each and every piece of legislation that we pass must be easy and it must be understood by our people. It must not be complex, must not be difficult, and must not allow it to be interpreted only by lawyers and the judiciary. We must be able to understand on our own and explain it on our own. Now, this is making life easy for everybody, because it does not say to the minister, go to the bill and decide which is to be prescribed and so on and so forth. We are missing those issues. And it will also make work easier for us as members of parliament when we do our oversight work, when we monitor and so on. We'll then be able to say, we have said you must prescribe these issues. These issues must be on the what do you call this, subordinate legislation? On the what? On the regulations. These are the issues that we said you must include. If you do not include any of those issues, we are then able to hold it to account. You must then explain to us as to why you didn't do what he is supposed to do. And what I also like is that we are also leaving the catch-all phrase, because we also attend to other matters which we might have skip the deliberately or not deliberately, and so on. So I'm going to appeal to members for us to agree with the advice. I think that advice is good, it is making work easier, and so on. And it will also assist ordinary people to understand what is it that needs to be included in the regulations, because that is our responsibility. The second issue which I want to speak on, because I want to speak once and just sit down, is on penalties. I'm not sure why are we putting back these issues again in the A list. Because in the previous meeting, you will recall that we discussed this matter fully, and we all agreed that the only matter which will exclude on your penalties will be Roman Figure 1, which talks about Roman Figure 1. Yeah, the failure to or refuse to make a statement. Because that's the one which we said that one we must take it out, because it will not be wise to criminalize a person for just saying, I reserve my right to make a statement and so on. That was the only issue. So I thought that when they come back today, they will then be able to say to us, we agree with you that this one, you can't criminalize it, let's take it out. But all, because of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, must still remain. That was the only issue. I think all of us were agreed that we leave them as they are. Thank you very much.
Honorable Katal.
No, Chair, I wouldn't want to waste your time. I agree with the proposal by Honorable Manloy that we should accept the recommendation by the law advisors on clause 55. Thank you.
Honorable, thanks, Honorable Matar. I think all the offences, I think Honorable Maloy is right. We've never said they must remove those things. Honorable members? Honourable Speaker. Ms. Chairperson, I am happy with those proposals. Thank you very much. Can we then go to the second bill? We'll ask the departmental legal team to take us through or the state law advisor. Any one of you, our parliamentary legal team went to assist the NCOP in the Bamba bill.
However, the reasons for the amendments will be explained, if necessary, by the state advisor, given that the bill is now in the hands of Parliament. So we're now doing the Plant Breeders' Rights Bill, the A list. These were the amendments that has been agreed to, the Plant Breeders' Rights Bill, clause 1, on page 4. In line 30, to omit 42 and to substitute 45. I'm going to read the amendments as per the draft that has been provided by the state advisor together with the parliamentary legal person, given the fact that the bill is now in their hands. On page 5, in line 28, to omit 51 and to substitute it with 54. These are just changes to the clause numbers. Clause 3 on page 6 in line 10, after may to insert not. Clause 4 on page 6 in line 20, after register to insert within 7 days. Clause 6 on page 6 in line 33, after subsection to insert within 7 days. Clause 15, on page 9, in line 5, after species, to omit excluding fungi and algae. On page 9, from line 38, to omit subsection 4 and to substitute it with the following. Subsection 4, for the purposes of subsection 2b, the filing of an application for the A, granting of a plant breeder's right, or B, entering in an official register of varieties of another variety in any country renders that other variety a matter of common knowledge from the date of such application, if such application results in the granting of a plant breeder's right of that other variety, or the entering in the official register of varieties of the said other variety, as the case may be. Clause 17, on page 10, from line 28, to omit subsection 3 and to substitute subsection 3, the registrar must allow the applicant to, within 2 years after the A, expiration of the period of priority, or B, first application is rejected or withdrawn, furnish the relevant information, documents, or material required for the purposes of undertaking the tests and trials in terms of section 26. The next amendment is clause 22 on page 11 in line 25, after the numeral 40, to insert within 60 days from the date of publication. On page 11, in line 26, to omit 7 days and to substitute it with 14 days. On page 11, in line 30, after objection, to insert within 60 days of notification. Clause 23, on page 11, from line 34, to omit subsection 1 and to substitute it with the following. An applicant for the grant of a plant reader's right must propose a denomination that complies with the prescribed requirements, and such denomination is subject to the approval of the registrar. Clause 24. On page 12, in line 11, after writing, to insert within 21 days. On page 12, in line 19, to omit 14 days and to substitute with 21 days. Clause 27. On page 13, in line 14, after writing, to insert within 21 days. Clause 28. On page 13, in line 21, after the word granted, to insert within 90 days of receiving examination results. Clause 29. On page 13, in line 29, after place, to insert 30 days prior to the hearing. On page 13, from line 30, to omit subsection 3 and to substitute it with the following. Subsection 3, the registrar, when considering a matter at the hearing, may utilize one or more of the persons contemplated in section 43 who have experience in the administration of justice or skill in any matter which may be considered at the hearing to assist and advise the registrar with regard to the hearing of the objection. On page 13, in line 51, to omit 7 days and to substitute it with 21 days. Clause 30, on page 4, in line 16, to omit the word lapses and to substitute it with may be cancelled in accordance with section 38. Clause 34, on page 15, in line 29, to omit 7 days and to substitute it with 21 days. On page 15, in line 32, to omit 30 days and to substitute it with 60 days. On page 15, in line 38, to omit 30 days and to substitute it with 21 days. Clause 35. On page 15, in line 29, to omit 7 days and to substitute it with 21 days. On page 15, again in line 32, to omit 30 days and to substitute it with 60 days. Again on page 15, in line 38, to omit 30 days and to substitute it with 21 days. Clause 36. On page 15, in line 41, to add 30 days prior to the hearing. On page 16, in line 16, to omit 7 days and to substitute it with 21 days. Clause 38. On page 17, in line 24, to omit board contemplated in section 41, and substitute it with minister in terms of section 44. Clause 41, this clause is outrightly rejected. So, new clauses that will appear in the bill. The following are the new clauses. Right to appeal. We have section 41. A person who feels aggrieved by any decision or action taken by the registrar may appeal in the prescribed manner to the minister against such decision. Chair, I'm not sure with your permission whether I should read through the entire, because we've been through this a few times. So the appeal clauses, like my colleague had said in the, on the previous bill, goes up to section 44 of the amendments on the A list. So if we were to move to page 6 of the A list, clause 43, on page 19, in line 49, to omit subsection 10 and to substitute it with the following. The new subsection 10 will read as follows. A member of the advisory committee must receive such subsistence and travelling allowances as may be prescribed by the minister after consultation with the Minister of Finance. Clause 46, on page 20, in line 36, after document to insert relating to the investigation. On page 21, from line 29, to omit subsection 6 and to substitute the following subsection 6. The registrar may, without a warrant, enter any place, premises, or vehicle and search for, seize, take samples of, and remove any article referred to in subsection 1, if the person who is competent to do so consents to such entry, search, seizure, taking of samples, and removal. Clause 51, on page 22 in line 4, to omit may and to substitute it with must. On page 27 from line 44, to omit paragraphs B to F. Just want to check, is this similar to we don't have a problem. Chair, with regards to clause 51, I just wanted to make double sure with my colleagues. 51 also deals with regulations, and the same discussion ensues regarding the previous bill. So can we accept and adopt what the decisions that we adopted in the previous bill? But of course, after I'm done with the amendments, the House can take a decision in that respect. So we will proceed, but just bear in mind that clause 51 is basically very similar to the one that we discussed previously regarding your regulations. Clause 52, on page 23 from line 43 to omit paragraphs D and E. On page 23, line 59 to omit or. On page 24 from line 1 to omit paragraphs H and to substitute it with the following. F, falsely holds himself or herself to be the registrar, an employee or an authorized person, or G, makes a document or causes a document to be made which purports to be a certificate, authorization, or other document or label issued in terms of this act. Clause 54, on page 24 in line 32, to omit reproductive and to substitute propagating. Clause 55 on page 24 in line 38 to omit 51 and to substitute it with 54. Clause 56 on page 24 in line 55 to omit 57 and to substitute it with 60. On page 25 in line 6 to omit 57 and again to substitute it with 60. Clause 58, on page 25 in line 28 to omit 2015 and to substitute it with 2016. Of course, in the end, the schedule changes accordingly on page 26 in the third line to omit 57 and to substitute it with 60. And then, of course, the arrangement of the sections in terms of how they will appear in the new bill is as follows. Chair, with your permission, I ask that I not read these. Okay. Thank you. And those are the amendments on the plant breeders' rights bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vivantin. On before members can note it, on page 18, clause 42. On the original view, which has been omitted on the list, where it says a committee to be known as the Plant Breeders Rights Advisory Committee, it's hereby said to may be, would replace it with may be, if the members remember. And then the 43, we then said the minister may, not must, may appoint the advisory committee, if you remember. So those are the two things that I thought I must correct before members adopt. Any
I just don't see the how we can allow people to take what nature has granted us and make it entirely their own and deprive everyone else from actually enjoying, and especially in places where it's for food production. All of this just doesn't sit well with me. How we can actually want to, you know, it's almost like anything that's going to contribute to betterment of humanity, like food that can be produced. I know that if I buy seeds in the shop and I have it for longer than I will not eat it. I'm speaking, you must teach this guy conscious placement.
You must learn manners.
When someone else is speaking, you must sit and you must wait.
Regulating every boat who is not closing for any boat, it's regulating. qualified through the registrar. And the registrar has been existing by the way. And we've signed the EPOP 1977, which has been existing, and we have not signed 1991 EPOP, which actually amended the 1978. But what this bill has done, it was looking at the Constitution of South Africa as to protect and develop mental nature of this, of South Africa and make sure that as we adhere to those people that we have signed, actually does not exclude the developmental nature of South Africa, and that's why in certain courses we have been saying we have to make sure that the new entrants should be protected in the processes. If you remember, the new entrants should be protected, and we're even saying the new entrants might be a student from university who does not have those fancy offices and other things, and I think amend those part of the requirement as initially appeared in the bill in terms of what would then be required. So the issue has been that we've dealt with the matters and the issues, the regulation, how to regulate things that comes in your country and how they should be applied to your country, and how do you get your communities to participate within the development of those cultivars in the country. I think that's what we have discussed. Honorable Umaru and Honorable
My apology for coming late, I was in the committee. But Chairperson, and I think I'm lost. Because I was of the view that we're still looking at the amendments, whether we accept amendments as presented by the legal team. And Honorable Member on site proposed that we accepted it. And my head was up to supporting it. But I see now we are discussing again the therapy. I thought we were supposed to finalize the issue of adopting the amendments as presented by the committee, then move on. So I was I'm in the dark now as to where we are.
No. As the chair, I wanted to accommodate Honorable Kose because he's raising issues that members were concerned before, and we have actually dealt with them. I'm trying to take him through that process that we went through it. So we are still on that one, and thank you for seconding. Honorable Papa.
Thank you, Chair. I think my colleague also covered me because I was worried. While I appreciate the issue that the Chair was taking, that a bit of clarifying these, but to some extent, Parliament has been waiting. A lot of work has been done on these close discussions by this committee. We went through all of these. It was really absolutely not necessary, but I think it helps to clarify the member. Otherwise, the staff that was bringing us aid in the I did not know that it was not even uncalled for, because we had gone through all these things and discussed. We have reached this stage now.
What a chair.
Thank
multinationals who have already managed to get into this country.
Chair, you are, this bill is to protect new infants who will come up as cultivars. I think it's still the wrong, because I'd like to see who easily comes up with new cultivars. If it's a student from Northwest University that's going to use it for the betterment of his community, or if it's someone that's going to. But I don't think that should be the focus, is the new intent. I think the focus should be protecting society from ultimate food insecurity.
The bill is trying to do that, Honorable.
I'm not convinced. Yes.
Let me give other honorable members, Honorable Maloy and then Honorable Stein and Honorable Matar.
No, Chair, just two things. I think you did explain where we started and where we are. And I think all the members would agree that we are now at a stage where we are confirming amendments which we did in the last meeting as a portfolio committee. This is where we are. As to the purpose of the bill, why is it necessary, if we have done that at the beginning, this is not the time. And then just the last word, Chair. Is it correct, or is it parliamentary, or is it how we are supposed to speak in these meetings? Honorable Paul's called me this guy. Now, should I refer to him as this fellow? Because I want us to have an understanding that we are operating in terms of the rules of this institution in a portfolio committee. We can't be referring to each other as this guy, this fellow, that man, and so on and so forth. And if he's going to do that, he's out of order. If he's going to do that, we are able to come to this level and don't want to go there.
Honorable State.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree that it's unfortunate that we're discussing it now. I'm trying to make a proposal to my colleague that in future, if you have such strong reservations about the bill, a political party or individual as well come to the public hearings and put in your submission at that stage where you can make a contribution. You know, when the bill is tabled and when Parliament submits the bill. Unfortunately, when we're discussing it as a committee, you know, you either try and change the bill, but it's not the time now to try and stop the bill. You know, the time has passed. But he's welcome to his ideas and plans, but I think it's unfortunate that it's come to in such a late stage, Chair. So I think in future, our colleague can come with amendments at all or proposals at the time when we do have public hearings, if you feel so strongly about against almost having the bill in Parliament. That's my comment, Chair. Thank you.
Honorable Martin.
No, thanks, Chair. It's unfortunate we're debating a matter that does not necessarily need a debate. I think we're at the stage to say we agree the amendments that have been put there. And the sentiment was expressed, and that sentiment should have been noted, and we moved to the next item. Because it was not saying we can't adopt. It was the sentiment that says, you know, you are taking away rights, benefits from communities, you know, if you have consciousness and all those things. And yeah, we should have just noted that. It's a good point, and it's a point for debate. And for now, the next item is this item. We go to the next item and proceed. But what was said was heard and understood by everybody. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Paulsey, I'm not going to take you again because we're... No, Honorable Paulsey, please help me to chair the meeting. What Honorable Maloy is saying, let's use the acceptable way to call ourselves. If we need to be respected by people out there that we represent, let's respect one another. There is a precedence of honorable. So can we in this committee agree that we'll use honorable, not this guy, this other things that other people might feel offended. So can we agree? It's not a matter of debate, honorable person. What explanation is that, honorable person?
Chairperson, I had the floor and I was speaking and he interjected. Now to me that's not honorable behavior, that's a guy. So, Brian, you must relax. If you want to be honored, be referred to as honorable, then behave in that fashion. Don't interject while I'm speaking and then feel that you should still be respected. Respect me first. I was speaking to the chair and I have the right to my opinion, like you have, regardless of
your... Honorable, thank you very much. Can I request that we proceed with our meeting and request that indeed we need to respect one another so that we are able to proceed with our meetings and finalize our agenda. Because if we go to that route, we might not finish the agenda and it will not be in the interest of all the people that sent us here. Thank you very much. We have adopted the amendment as reflected in the A list. On the Plant Breeders' Rights Bill, with the amendment that we've mentioned, page 18, which says replacing the ECM by maybe. So, and then the page 19, which is replacing must with may, and the clause 42 and 43. All this, the clause 42 as we have discussed in the first bill. Agreed, honorable members? Thank you very much, honorable members. Then the team will then go back and now go to the B list, which will then lead to the adoption of the bill and develop a report to the House. And thank you very much, honorable members. It was very interesting discussion on this bill, and we have learned so much that for us to have food security and safety, we have to regulate. We must not get tired of regulating. We should continuously regulate so that we are able to achieve the food security and safety in this country. And thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting will be adjourned. We'll reconvene at 2 o'clock. We'll start with the BRRR process. We are now going to have planning and monitoring as the first presenters at 2 o'clock. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.